I am thrilled you joined us today at A View Beyond the Ordinary. I'm Jolene Lenz, your host, and this is where we explore those divine encounters, meet some courageous souls who share their stories with the goal of helping us pursue our own bliss or dream. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and listen through Spotify, Apple iTunes, or one of your favorite podcast apps. And let's get started and tune in. Welcome, everybody, to A View Beyond the Ordinary today. Today's guest is Emily Trinkaus?
Trinkaus.
Mm-hmm. Trinkaus. Great. Well, Emily, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I'd love to start. Let me just share with all of you out there a little bit more about Emily. She is a lifelong student of astrology, and she has practiced professionally since 1999. She's also a writer and an artist, and has a background in energy medicine. She works with astrology as a healing art, teaching online classes and offering personal readings to people around the world. I will share, just so you all know too, her information. She has an amazing website. So I'll have that in the show notes as well as on my site. And Emily, I would love to find out what led you down the path that you're on now.
Okay, so I'm going to attempt to make this not the longest story in the world, but when I was a kid, I first got into astrology. I read Linda Goodman's Sun Signs when I was 13. And it just spoke to me. Something woke up in me and I got kind of obsessed with astrology. But I was from a very non-woo background, East Coast intellectual atheist, right? So I was on a path. I thought I was going to become a professor, an academic. I liked school. I was good at it. I knew I wanted to teach and to write. So I was in a PhD program and discovered, this is not my beautiful life. And I ended up getting out. I did get a master's, but I got out of the program and was quite adrift. And I had this idea, maybe I'll be an herbalist, because there was something about the healing path that drew me. But even though I had been obsessed with astrology forever, that didn't occur to me that I could make a career out of it. That was never presented as an option. And it just I didn't know. So then in my late 20s, which some people will know that's the Saturn return, which happens around age 29 and is often a big turning point when it comes to our dharma and destiny and work in the world, major endings and beginnings. And for me, I ended up living back in New York City, which is where I was born. I didn't grow up there, but I was born there. And a series of unfortunate events, or seemingly unfortunate events, landed me back in New York City. And that became a rebirth place. And there were a series of synchronicities whereby I ended up first volunteering and then working for a place called the New York Open Center, which is a nonprofit holistic learning center. And I was drawn there because they had an herbalism program. And I had no money, but I started volunteering there so I could take their herbalism program. And I ended up studying with my first astrology teacher there. And after studying on my own, I had studied on my own for a good 15 years, but studying with a teacher just brought it to the next level. And it completely opened up my passion for that path. And also, I guess that was my first light bulb of awareness. Oh, this could actually be something I do for work. So I started giving readings to friends and they told their friends, and then, oh no, now I have to charge money. So it just developed quite organically. And also when I was living in New York City, and of course living in New York City, like there's so much available in terms of learning opportunities. And I think that was the divine orchestration to bring me back there where, so much was available to learn. I felt like it was my second graduate school, and graduate school in much more, to me, exciting topics. So it was also in New York City that I had my first experience of energy medicine, also completely you know, a sort of accidental, where I had a pinched nerve in my behind my shoulder blade. I did a lot of food service, so a lot of carrying of heavy trays, and had this, you know, thing going on in my back. And I also had a cold, and I was with a friend of mine, and he said, "Do you want me to give you a polarity session?" And I said, "I have no idea what that is, but I'm open to anything that might help." So 20 minutes later, after which it seemed like nothing had happened. I mean, he touched a few points. I mean, it seemed like nothing had happened, but all of my symptoms were gone. And I said, "What was that? And how do I learn how to do that?" And it turned out the New York Open Center, where I was at this point working, they had a training program in polarity therapy. And so I did the certification, and that led me on this path, and, you know, I ended up doing other forms of energy work as well. So yes, the divine orchestrated this whole other path for me. And I love to teach, and now I get to teach astrology, and I love to write. And one of the main ways that I built my astrology career was through my writing, through writing blogs and articles and forecasts and all of that. I did that for many years. So that's a long answer, but that's part of it.
Yeah, I love that you tied in all the synchronicities that led you to the calling, to the callings that you're doing now. And in terms of polarity, I love energy medicine. I have not, that's a term I'm not familiar with, or a modality I have not heard before. I know Reiki's out there. I know there are, you know, acupuncture, so many different other forms, tapping, or EFT, I think they call it.
Yes.
But that is really interesting. Is it related to those pretty
Polarity therapy, yeah, I mean, I think they're all related. Polarity therapy was actually one of the earliest forms of energy medicine, developed by a doctor in, I think, Austria. I might have this wrong, Randolph Stone, who had a background in, he was a doctor, and then he had a background in Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine. And basically what he saw was that what was missing from Western medicine was the energy component. And so he set out to develop a Western form of energy medicine that draws on Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic, and also he incorporates astrology into it, which I love. So that was my introduction to energy medicine. And then I went on to study reflexology, and I did Reiki 1 and 2, and then body talk was what I ended up practicing for a while when I was doing that professionally. I love body talk, and that brings together a lot of different systems as well.
What a journey. And oh my gosh, I would love to learn all of that too, Emily. So the fact that you've dived in and have all that experience is amazing. I'm actually a Reiki master as well. So I have done some Reiki, you know, just a little bit. And the fact that we can heal our body with energy, I'm a huge fan of Eastern, some of the Eastern modalities and traditions. So what a journey. Now, spirit, going back into the divine and synchronicities, I believe that we are not alone and we are guided. And from your story, it's clear that you have had a lot of help along the way.
I have. I think at this point in my life, in my early 50s, and reflecting back, I feel like now I can really see that so many things that at the time seemed bad or hard, or why is this happening? What's wrong? Right. What am I doing wrong? Were actually exactly what I needed to get to the next phase. And, you know, part of that is the healing journey, you know. And as a child, I was very sickly. I was in and out of the hospital. I had all kinds of health challenges. And a lot of that is what led me into natural health and then to energy medicine. So I think, you know, in terms of the guidance, I mean, absolutely, my work life has been completely divinely orchestrated and not at all what I thought it was going to be. But I would say life in general has been a series of divine interventions to get me on path. And where I'm at now is, I think, a deeper level of trust in life, where I feel like I was in a phase of, there's that idea of attraction and attracting what we want and manifesting our reality. And I think all of that is real and true. And what I've come to is more of a place of really deeply accepting what is and trusting what life is presenting to me, even if I can't see the why, or even if it's not what I thought it was supposed to look like, really trusting what shows up and accepting what shows up and deepening into that. And I feel like I get those like aha moments on almost a daily basis, where something that just seemed like, oh, I must be doing something wrong, or clearly something is crazy here. And then I get it, like, oh no, it had to be that way. I needed that to get to the next place.
Yeah, I have my goosebumps again, my goosebumps confirming that I call them truth bumps or God bumps. So I love that. And in terms of, you kind of just mentioned it, but your aha moments, you mentioned you have aha moments daily. Is there one aha moment though, that was so profound that you just remember it?
I don't know that I can come up with just one, or even one major one in the moment.
I always liked, some people have that one moment where their whole life changes. It sounds like you, one thing you did say that I would like to share with the listeners that I have found too, is that really, I believe what is meant for us comes to us. And the more I've had to chase after things, Emily, and really pursue it, I really have realized it typically what has touched my heart, or what has brought me more fulfillment, usually lands, and I shouldn't say it just lands in my lap, but it comes easily and effortlessly, in a flow of which I have also learned to trust. And you used a key word there, to trust. I'm also in my 50s. And as I reflect back on my earlier years, I see now that when I was really struggling or trying to make things happen, letting go and trusting the process, some of the things that I believe maybe we desire really wouldn't have brought us as much joy as what actually ends up coming to us.
And you are reminding me of a major aha moment that has come to me in listening to you.
That's how, see how it works.
Perfect. So, and this was the very first astrology reading that I ever received, which was in this time when I was living in New York City. And I'd been looking at my own chart for years, but it's different to get a professional perspective. And she told me something that was so simple and yet so profound that it was a major turnaround for me. So I'm a Virgo. We're the worker bees of the zodiac. Okay, the Capricorns are too, but Virgos are very hard workers. And so there's a default mode of, if things aren't going well, it's because I'm not working hard enough. And I know this isn't exclusive to Virgos. This is kind of a cultural setup too, right? So what she told me was, when you think things aren't going well because you're not working hard enough and not working on yourself hard enough, and Virgo's the sign of self-improvement and always, well, I've got to, beat myself up, get out the stick if it's not going well, right? That's actually a sign of needing to turn it over and surrender and come into greater acceptance and compassion and letting go. What? You mean I'm not doing something wrong and I don't have to work harder to make it better? No, this is where, hello, there's something, this is bigger than me, clearly, and I need to open up and receive, period.
You know, what's funny is the last person I did an interview with, I happen to know she's a Virgo. Yeah. And she is like that, very driven and go, go, go. And she teaches yoga now. And I know that's helped, but that was a great aha moment.
And it was so simple. It was such a simple observation of my sun sign, something super basic, but it completely shifted me I needed to hear that at, you know, age 29 or 30 or whatever.
That is a great message. And in terms of the challenges, have you had one challenge in particular that really has either continued to appear or you just remember it, you know, profoundly?
Yeah, I want to talk about a challenge that I still have and that I do it anyway. I'm doing what I do anyway. And I think this is a challenge that so many people, generally speaking, but I think women in particular, and I think women in particular who are here as healers or mystics, it's the imposter complex. And what I want to say about that is that I still have an imposter complex. I still get anxious before I teach or before I give a reading. And there's still a part of me, there's still that voice. It's a lot quieter now, but there's still a voice that's like, who do you think you are? And why you're charging money for that? And rah, 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 rah. It's still there. And you do it anyway, because one of the things I've done over the years is train people to become astrologers, right? To teach them what I know. And the thing that I observe so often is, again, women in particular who have studied astrology for literally 20 years and are still terrified to charge money for a reading or to put themselves out there or to stand up and give a talk or teach a class. And what they tell themselves is, I'm going to wait till I'm not afraid anymore. I need to deal with my, I need to heal my imposter complex and then I can do it. And what I say is, if I were waiting for that, I would still be waiting and I'd be, you know, waitressing or, you know, doing, being a secretary or something. I'm a great secretary. I'm also a great waitress. Nothing's wrong with doing that, but that's not how I'm here to serve. And so in order to do my work in the world, that's something that it has lessened. And I think the more that we do what we came here to do, the more we break down that fear and anxiety, but it doesn't necessarily go away and it doesn't have to. And so, you know, my message is always about just do it. Like, yes, you can be afraid and do it. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being fearful, right? It's only if the fear stops you from your mission or your passion.
Nothing, we would never be where we're at, would we, if we didn't take that first leap of faith and have the courage. As I always think of Brené Brown, whenever I hear something like that, just the courage to get in the arena. And with the podcast, when you start writing a blog or whatever form it is, especially when you're putting yourself out there in front of people, I make mistakes doing this all the time. I'm sure the audience will notice there's several, there could be some in this one, but the key is I really believe what you just said is paramount. Their fear will be there. Do it anyway. And it's not about perfection. It's more about what you're trying to help people with or to serve and put the energy behind it and the love behind it. I think people feel that. So great message again to all the listeners out there. Fear is something that is normal and it's normal, but it doesn't go away. And I've been doing this too for years, meaning, you know, recruiting and podcasting now, it's been months, but it's a little scary every time I do it. So
yeah, and that's good. I mean, the fear means you're at a growth edge. Right. If you're only doing things that you feel totally comfortable and what blasé about whatever, then you're probably not really growing and you're probably not living your passion. Because I think our assignment in terms of really doing our work here, that requires taking risks and requires overcoming the old programming. Right. And so if you feel fear or if you feel resistance, that's like, yay, great. I must be going in the right direction.
Oh my gosh. And who has helped you? Like when you look back at your last 10, 20 years, is there a specific teacher or a book that you go to, any particular mentor that you've had?
I've had some really incredible mentors and healers and also friends. Actually, it makes me teary to think of my friends and where would I be without my friends? But my main teacher for the past 6 years or so has been Lawrence Conlin, who does these amazing passionate ease retreats. And it's all about working at the level of the nervous system to heal trauma, and which of course we all have. We all have those places where we've, you know, frozen or tightened up or shut down. And so it's been a process of unwinding and undoing. And I've come to really see, and probably you too, with your background in energy healing as well, that most of healing is more about undoing, right? And uncovering more of our light and our essence versus, you know, needing to add anything. So he's been my main teacher recently.
We usually have one that comes into our life at the right time. And that's great that Lawrence, and you said Lawrence, right, came into your life at the perfect timing. And you mentioned something too about unraveling or just everything, anxiety, the nervous system, you know, the central nervous system, with everything going on right now with the pandemic, COVID, and looking at the astrology as we move into the Aquarian age. Do you see life is going to get easier or better for us as just, you know, the US area? I'm just curious in terms of astrology, what you're seeing.
I think we're in a major initiation phase, right? So we're in this massive dying of the old paradigm, birth of the new paradigm. Those of us courageous souls who chose to be here at this time are here to midwife the new world. And I don't think the intensity is letting up anytime soon, but I don't think that means that on an individual level, we can't have amazing lives. And I have to say, the last couple of years, my life has been phenomenal. And it's been, I think what's happening in the world has been a kind of spiritual kick in the butt to do my inner work and to step out even more and give my gifts and speak my truth. And so, and I've seen a lot of people really come into themselves more and come into their power more over the past couple of years. So I think there's this potential to live really amazing lives, even through the birth canal of this, you know, pretty on one level, devastating process. And I think having to hold both, right, and to make space for the grief and the pain and the suffering that's real in the world, and not to just, you know, ignore that, or like we can't. We're all connected, of course. We're all feeling that, but at the same time, to be in touch with what's being birthed and what we are birthing, right? And so it's a both and it's paradoxical, and it's having one foot in each world and not denying the death and destruction, but also not denying the amazingness that and the potential, and not only potential, but really, you know, people really creating something new. And like, okay, the systems aren't going to be there. We have to do it ourselves. We have to learn how to grow food. We have to learn how to create energy, right? And so it's a big learning curve. And, you know, the potential is really exciting too.
I love that you said it's exciting. It's really an awakening to ourselves at a deeper level if we utilize this opportunity. And I think that's the key. And it sounds like you're taking this opportunity, and I loved you, the analogy you give about a birthing canal, because it has some pain involved at times, but really at the end of the day, I do believe it is really helping us discover more about ourselves and connect deeper. I feel like our intuition right now is so ever important to really use our own discernment as we go through these challenging times. And everything that you stated there, beautifully stated. I can tell you're a writer. I can just tell from the way you speak. So eloquent.
Thank you.
So absolutely. On an end note, I have to just say, when you mentioned that you don't utilize social media, I I applaud you because everybody always, when I told everybody I'm getting off Facebook, they said, oh my gosh, you have a podcast. How are you going to promote your podcast? And I said, you know, I just don't believe in that platform, at least the Facebook, you know, Zuckerberg platform. I'll stay in a couple and just simplify my social media accounts. You, from what, you know, speaking to you, it sounds like you are not on any social media accounts. And I'd love to share what led you there and how you've experienced it with getting off the social media.
Yeah, thank you. So it was early 2020, I guess, when I became aware of, I knew Facebook wasn't a great business, but it was probably right in the beginning of 2020 that I saw what I couldn't unsee about what the business was actually doing. And I had a business page on Facebook with 14,000 people on it. And I do have to credit Facebook early on when I was writing a blog and I would share it on Facebook, and it helped me build my business. So, but at the time I didn't know that it was evil. So once I found out, it was hard to let that go, but I had to think the universe is going to support me for being in integrity in my business. Like I have to operate under that model. Like, does the goddess want me to operate out of integrity? I don't think so. So, right. So I got off of Facebook, I got off of Instagram, and nothing, my business has only grown since then. I didn't notice any diminishment. And I'm sure there are some people who, because I'm not on Facebook, are not being introduced to my work in that way, but I have not suffered. And in fact, my business has really flourished over the past 2 years. So I feel like I am being supported for just standing in integrity. And I think that if all the business people who knew the truth about Facebook got off of there, then it would end. And, you know, there are new platforms, fledgling platforms with more integrity, but there aren't a lot of people there yet. I'm kind of waiting for the mass exodus of, you know, critical mass on these other sites. But meanwhile, I'm doing just fine.
Oh my gosh, I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. It's just a great reminder to be truthful with yourself. And as you mentioned, live in integrity. Anita Mirjani is one of my greatest teachers and inspirations. And her book is Dying to Be Me. And basically that's what she states in her book, Emily, is just be true to yourself, follow the guidance that you're given. And sometimes, you know, we don't follow the herd, you know, just taking that first step and not being afraid to do that. So I'm going to be getting off. Just a great reminder.
Congratulations.
Why. Yeah. Yes,
and just to say, in terms of not following the herd, I think that's a big one too, in terms of being in business for ourselves, right? And having to trust our own instincts and not necessarily follow, well, you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do it this way. No, you don't. You can, and in fact, doing it your own way is probably going to work much better for you because it feels right to you. And what feels right is going to have integrity as it goes out into the world, and that will speak to people. But if you're putting, I mean, everything's energy, as we know, right? So if you're putting something out there, but you're feeling ew about it, then it's not going to land with people in the right way. As if you're really clear and solid and in integrity, then that's the energy behind it. And that's going to work better.
What a great for an ending message to share with everybody. I don't think you could have said it any better. I think everybody be true to yourselves. And energy, what we put out there, I also believe comes back to us tenfold. So on that note, I cannot thank you enough for sharing your beautiful, loving energy with everybody here. What wisdom that you shared today, Emily. It was such an honor to get to meet you. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you, Jolene. Well,
and all of you listeners, we also value you. Thank you so much for joining us today. as we get to know Emily, as we, you know, uncovered a little bit more about you and some of the treasures you've found on your journey. So thanks everybody for tuning in, and make it a great day. If you enjoyed Emily's message, I try to share inspirational messages of those individuals who don't follow the herd and maybe just chart their own path. So I'd certainly love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast. I also offer a free ebook, Make Your Own Music. And here is just being true to ourselves, making our own music, and enjoying our journey. Thanks again all for tuning in.